Hello, everybody. This is George Afferman, The Doll World. I just wanted to let you know that this show was recorded back in October of 2020. And also, Dr. Laverne Hall will be referencing some materials that she's sharing with us. You can get to see those on our YouTube channel probably another week from now, from the time that the show is airing. You will not be disappointed if you listen to this show again, because she has so much valuable information to share about her journey from making her paper dolls to being on HGTV. I mean, the history is wide, and it's so beautiful. I love this interview with her. So thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll let you get on with the show. Bye. Hello, everybody, and welcome to In the Doll World, a show spotlighting the passion and the people of the doll community with your host, me, Georgette Taylor, former vice president and co-founder of Big Beautiful Dolls, and Tammy Fisher, owner of Curiosity Dolls and Collectibles. Join us as we talk to and feature fascinating new dolls and doll artists, from avid collectors to repainters, redesigners, bloggers, authors, and all the people in between, as they share their journeys, give us glimpses into their processes, and what propels their passion and drive that help to keep the doll world moving and shaking. Here are your hosts, Georgette and Tammy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to In the Doll World. My name is Tammy Fisher, and I'm here today with my beautiful co-host, Miss Georgette Taylor.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Georgette. And today's special guest is Reverend Dr. Laverne Hall. She is a doll artist, a reverend, doll lover. She is someone who is instrumental in helping other African-American and Black doll artists to achieve and reach their goals as doll artists. So thank you, Dr. Laverne, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very, very much. I am, I'll say, delighted to be with you.
I love it. That's great.
Delighted. And please call me Laverne.
Okay.
Everybody, yes, ma'am. In the doll world for the last 40 plus years, they just know me as Laverne.
Okay. Okay. Miss Laverne.
So I'm Laverne. Laverne.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're so excited to have you. And so we'll just get started with the show, with your journey. That's where we normally start. So tell us about your doll journey. When did you start? When did you realize you liked dolls, and how you got to where you are today?
Well, you know, my story, I am 82 years old.
Wow.
And I am pushing the door open on 83.
Yes,
it's
ma'am.
A jar right now, but you know, just a few weeks, it's going to be all the way open.
All right.
So, my journey with the dolls goes back to the 1940s,
okay.
Goes all the way back, and to this extent, my mother and my dad worked, and there were three of us kids. And back then, there was no such thing as a babysitter or child care, okay? Mm-hmm. So they had to leave us. We were in the house there, in the projects, for a certain amount of time without anybody there with us. Mm-hmm. And it's only by the grace of God that I am here today, because the entire little house, little project house that we lived in had to be heated with a pot belly kind of stove, mm-hmm. where you have to put wood and paper and coal and light a match to it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So they left us three kids there, and we were just little kids with lots of paper, mm-hmm. lots of pencils, lots of crayons, and scissors. So we had to literally use our imagination. Wow. And so my sister and I, what we did, we made paper dolls. We made paper furniture, made all kind of cutouts. And with that, we also had to create stories to go with the paper dolls that we created. And we had to create lots of clothes. So that's how my story began. And when I got married in 1959, I immediately had two sons. And then 16 years after that, this beautiful little girl came along, Maji. And as I began to think about what had made me happy as a child growing up, I thought immediately about paper dolls.
Okay.
But could not find any paper dolls that I thought that I wanted my daughter, Maji, to play with. Okay. So because I have an art background, I made Maji some paper dolls and named the paper doll Maji, my little Maji. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice. She was about, I think she was about four. And so it was such a nice paper doll that I asked Maji if we could share her paper doll with many, many, many little kids just like her.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get her permission. And she said, yes, of course. And so mm-hmm. that's how the doll business for me came into being through a child. My childhood and then my daughter. That's how it all started.
That's beautiful. So when you were home with your siblings and you were making dolls and furniture, and how old were you? Were you like Maji's age or were you younger? Or when did you start doing
that? I was probably a little bit older than Maji. I was probably like maybe six,
okay.
five or six, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And my sister was young. She's younger. And okay. my sister went on to really become a designer and design clothing. And in fact, she, when it was not for us, she owned two boutiques in downtown Portland. Yeah, in two different shopping centers. She went on to use what she had grown up with as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, those are beautiful stories.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
You said you had an art background. So mm-hmm. Obviously after you grew up, you went to art school.
Back then, you did not go to art school or anything like that because mm-hmm. Our parents didn't believe that that was a way for you to make any money.
Right.
You had to either be a teacher or a nurse. So I had no formal art training. It was mm-hmm. just all freehand drawing and what my eye told me to do, my mm-hmm. eyes and my hands told me to do. And the very first art class that I had was in, I think, in the mm-hmm. 1970s when I took a college course,
okay.
Beginning art, and I took one quarter of art and wow. did some freehand drawing and some contour drawing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that's great. So you started out and you made this doll for Maji mm-hmm. and then you went about sharing her. How did you share? Well, was it a single doll? Was it multiple dolls? What did you make and how did you share them?
It was a single doll. And this was the Maji paper doll book. Okay. And she had about 12 different outfits in this book. So simple that it's for a child. And so I tried desperately to get the doll in some retail establishments.
Mm-hmm.
That is another whole story. That's yes. a book.
Yes.
Nobody wants black paper dolls.
Wow.
I tried very hard to get some of our national black magazines to write about it.
Mm-hmm.
No response whatsoever.
Wow.
So it's like, you got to take matters into your own hands. Okay.
This is in the 1970s.
Yes.
This is going on.
No,
okay.
No, this was, I did the Maji paper doll in the 80s. Okay.
Okay. Even 80s. More recently. Okay.
Yeah. In the 80s. And so I knew that people were telling me, well, it's not going to sell. But I knew it would sell because I had been selling the doll. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I did that by just developing a very simple 8.5 by 11 brochure flyer, folded it over. And because I had access to a couple of national mailing lists, because I belong to a couple of national organizations, I sent that thing out all over. Okay. And started getting some orders. And then I went to my local newspaper, the Seattle Times, and told them what I was doing. It's unique. It's different. There's nothing like it. So they put an article. It was either on the front page or somewhere. And that generated some interest. But let me tell you how the national interest really picked up. There are organizations that do nothing but scan newspapers and articles and magazines looking for stuff on women and what women are doing. So readers, they call them, I guess. And so by then I had gotten a post office box. But I went to my post office box one day and I had two letters. One letter was from Vogue magazine. The other letter was from Glamour magazine. Not very professional at all. In fact, I thought they were both a hoax. And they wanted to do something on the paper doll. And so they put in both of their magazines just a little tiny paragraph on this black paper doll.
Wow.
Okay. Now, you know what the distribution for Vogue and Glamour, okay?
Yes.
So at that point, I had to start going to my post office box twice a day.
Wow.
Twice a day. Now, you know, it's like these are not black magazines,
right?
Okay? But they had no qualms whatsoever about putting this little article in the magazine.
Wow. That's okay. Very cool.
And I can tell you how many times I wrote to some of us with no response. Okay.
Yep.
And so that gave me great, great motivation, And I think it probably was right about that time that I also started doing paper dolls of real people. You know, just send me a photograph and I will make you into a paper doll.
Oh, that's awesome.
So cute.
Yeah.
With wardrobe. Okay. So I started doing that as well. And then somehow the National African American Museum and Cultural Center in Wilberforce, Ohio, found out about me and they called me. Okay. And so that's how I started doing the doll shows. Okay. I had done one doll show in Seattle in 1984 and invited a doll artist that I knew here to be in the show. And it was very well received. And the centerpiece for the doll show, for that doll show, the first one, was I did it in November, right after Thanksgiving. And the centerpiece was just a giant Christmas tree that was just loaded and full of black dolls. And so that was the draw. And so then I had the conversation with Juanita, I think Juanita Moore, at the museum in Wilberforce. And that was before the museum was completed. And so we had a long conversation and she invited me to Wilberforce to do a doll show. And we did the first doll show in Wilberforce, I forget, in mid-80, I think, I can't remember. But they knew some doll artists in that area. They invited some doll artists and we did it in a community center. And it was very successful. And then so we decided to do it again the next year. And so the next year, we also did it in a community center. And then that third year, the museum was finished and we did a grand opening. there in Wilberforce.
And, oh, that's cool.
So, but we didn't do the doll show. I just attended the grand opening. And what was just so, so great is like, there's an engineering firm here in Seattle, Bellevue. And they somehow, I had asked them to do something for Black History Month. Mm-hmm. And they decided what they wanted to do, since I was doing dolls, was to do an exhibit on me.
Oh.
And they did this. When I think about it now, it's like things just kind of was, they were just going. But they did this multidimensional exhibit, CH2M Hill, that's the name.
Okay. Of the company. I know that
and
one.
They sent a photographer to my house where I am right now. Mm-hmm. I've been in this house almost 50 years. They sent a photographer here who stayed here with me all day long. And he was just taking all kind of pictures. And then we had somebody to interview me. But they put together this multidimensional exhibit.
Nice.
And put together this multi-level brochure to go with it. And we set it up first in the downtown Seattle Public Library and opened Black History Month with it. And if I could just tell you a little story about that. Mm-hmm. As we were installing the exhibit, and it's several giant building blocks, real big building blocks. Mm-hmm. And it's on all sides. There are pictures of the paper doll and the doll story and all of that. And as they were installing this exhibit, I was there watching, there was this beautiful lady and she kept looking at the exhibit and then she'd turn around and she'd look at me and then she'd look at the exhibit. And she finally said to me, she said, "Is that you?" And I said, "Yes, that's me. This is what I looked like back then."
Okay. Hold it still. Oh, nice. Look at you.
Beautiful. And yes. So,
as it turned out, to make a long story short, she and I became friends. And she invited me to her place. She didn't live too far from the downtown Seattle Public Library. She was Dorothy Dandridge's sister.
Oh, nice.
And she was living in Seattle incognito. Didn't want anybody to know that she was there. And she was authentic because she began to show me a lot of stuff, you know.
Right.
Of she and Dorothy Dandridge. But I've had so many wonderful stories with these dolls that it's just, but anyway, this exhibit was boxed up and the box was almost as big as this room that I'm in, because that's how big the blocks were. And they sent it to Wilberforce for their grand opening.
Nice.
So, wow. Yes.
That
and
is beautiful.
So it was like, wow.
It definitely is. Love that story.
Who would have thought that from a paper doll, right?
Exactly.
From a paper doll. That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing, though.
So do you still have is there still a display at Wilberforce?
Wilberforce still has that big block exhibit. And it's probably down in storage someplace. Because there's some dolls in it, and there is this My Little Maji doll. We did a limited edition of this doll that went with the paper doll.
Okay.
And so this doll is in it. And the story about this doll is that My Little Maji, it's all porcelain.
Okay.
It's all porcelain. I met a doll maker by the name of Sandra Blake, who lives in either North or South Carolina. I can't remember. I'm so old. But she did this limited edition doll of the paper doll. And so that doll is in the exhibit.
Okay.
And then there's some other artifacts and things that were part of those building blocks. So I don't know what it is they've done with it. Yeah.
Okay.
We were together, myself and the museum for probably close to 18 years mm-hmm. during the doll show. 7,000 square feet, if you believe it or not.
That's a big space.
Of beautiful Black dolls that were made by contemporary African-American doll artists.
Also, it was an all-Black show.
All over the country.
It was an all-Black show. They're all-Black dolls.
All Black dolls.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
That's impressive.
It was very impressive to just go in there and just walk in that door, and you would see these beautiful women. You know about Marcella Welch. She would come every year. Mm-hmm. In fact, she was Doll Artist of the Year 1 year. Floyd Bell came, and Eleanor Peace Bailey, she came and did some workshops, because we would have workshops and lectures and entertainment. In fact, Ruby Dee was our entertainment 1 year. And so it was like, I am just so blessed and just so thankful that I was able to have these experiences. And I I've just got tons and tons and tons of photographs and just so many memories, and all of the people all over the world. What can I say?
That's beautiful. Yeah,
that is. That's a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So your doll show went on for 18 years, you said? Or you
pretty
were
close
just with
to.
The, okay.
Close all right. to, yeah. Yeah. There, at one point, 1 year, we didn't do a show. And that's because my husband became very ill and was in a coma for several months.
Oh,
and okay. so we Sorry. Just, we couldn't do anything that
right,
year.
Right,
yeah,
right,
right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But there were so many other things that happened, beginning to produce the doll magazine.
So when did that happen? When did you start your doll magazine?
I started that doll magazine back in early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think. I can't remember. But it had a national circulation. I think I even had a subscriber in France and maybe someplace else. I can't remember. But I just happened to pick up one issue here. And it's dated November, December, 1993. And okay. it came out every 2 months and roughly 35, 40 pages. And by then I was beginning to meet other doll artists from other parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would write for me. And that's wow. how I got involved in the national craft shows and was mm-hmm. able to go to some of those and do some teaching. As a result of being on that circuit, got involved with a national company that produced Fiberfill. And from that did shows with a Home and Garden TV. It's just,
wow.
yeah.
That's phenomenal. Your yes. journey really has.
And that's phenomenal. Where at one of those national big worldwide craft shows in either Reno or Las Vegas, I met this young man who lived here, but he was working for his family who lived in Haiti. Okay.
Okay.
And his family in Haiti had a company. And so I gave him a prototype of one of my dolls, cloth dolls. And he, we sent it to Haiti to his mother's company. And she did these dolls called Little Miss Bow Ribbons for me. And
that's
so
beautiful.
I did that.
Started off doing paper dolls.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were teaching, were you teaching how to make paper dolls or cloth dolls or both?
One of the things that I did with the paper doll was to put the doll on these great big boards, because I'm a writer as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into the classroom and I taught kids how to use their imagination using the big boards that I had with the doll and one or two drawings or whatever on it. taught them creative writing. And then I also used the DAW in that concept in one of my seminary classes where I taught problem solving, if you will, using a fact, then making it into a fantasy and doing some other things. And then I taught, when I went to Africa, I taught doll making in Africa at some women's shelters. And then I was privileged to go into two different women's prisons in Ohio, which was just a wonderful experience, and taught these women who were incarcerated how to make a sock doll. And I would take everything that they would need. And some of these women had never even picked up a needle or a spool of thread. And and we were able to do it in such a way that it doesn't take a lot of time to make a sock doll. And so they were just so fascinated with the dolls that they made, and they were supposed to give them to a shelter. But they were so fascinated with what they had created that they kind of wanted to keep them. But it's like, no, you got to give these away, but you can, you know how to do it, so then you can do your own. You know?
That's cool. That's a great story. So when you worked with the people in Africa and you were helping them, you taught them how to make dolls, did they sell their dolls, or what came of that?
Well, see, everything is a story.
I love it. That's great.
But I think that the first trip to Africa, I went through the museum in Wilberforce. Okay. And so it was just, you know, teaching people how to make dolls. I don't know what they did with them.
Okay.
But then right after that, I met up with some people in New York. This was right at the end of apartheid, okay? And so they launched this campaign where they were going to take all of these Black dolls to South Africa for these little Black children who needed something like themselves to play with, okay? And so I became involved in that experience. And so my efforts and a couple of articles in the newspaper here that the UPI picked up and showed it all around the country, we started to get all of these dolls at the church where I was attending. And so we had probably about 1,000 dolls in the church.
Wow.
To go to South Africa. And so just before we were to send them to South Africa, the pastor and the governor of the state of Washington, Mike, and they're both deceased now, but we had one service dedicated to the dolls, and we blessed all of the dolls. And then we had people to come in and help package the dolls, and the dolls were sent to New York. And then from New York, they went to South Africa. And then a group of us went to South Africa and gave the dolls to little children in the shelters and orphanages and et cetera. And so that was with that group 1 year. And so the next couple of years, I did it as a project of Holiday Festival of Black Dolls.
Okay.
Beautiful. Wow. Yeah. I love your history. Important history too.
Very important, because people need to know about Marcella Welch. They need to know about Core January. They need to know about the woman who used to do, I forget her name, but I've got some of her dolls because I'm a collector as well. But when the Cabbage Patch doll became so popular, Sherry McCoy is her name, Sherry McCoy. Sherry McCoy lived in either Georgia, I think she lived in Georgia, but she came out with a Cabbage Patch doll, okay? And with her Cabbage Patch doll, she gave collard green seeds.
Okay?
So people need to know about that.
Wow.
There's my friend Love Robinson. And I don't know where she is now, but she did a doll that resembled Jesse Jackson, and she called it her country preacher. Mm-hmm. And Jesse would always come to visit the church that I belonged to in Seattle. And so one year he came, and I gave him that country preacher doll, and I said, autograph it, please. And he said, oh, is my, I said, no, it's not yours. I just want you to autograph it. So it's like, I've got a museum here and,
right.
And just tons and tons of memories. Yeah. I've got pretty close to 18 years worth of this magazine. You
wow.
know?
What is the and name of the magazine? What is the name
of
the magazine?
It's called Doll Art Venture.
Okay.
And we called it a Dollygram. Dollygram.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And nice. The very first one, this went from a one-page foldover to what you see here. And it was never in color because we did not have color computers. Mm. And my office was my kitchen table.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can relate to that.
Definitely.
Yeah. And we did not have cell phones.
Right.
So every long distance call I made, you know, you got to pay for those calls.
Yes.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
That's true. That is true.
And there was no other way to do this other than to pick up the telephone and talk to people, and they would mail the stuff to you, you mm-hmm. know?
Right, yeah.
And the pictures were in color, okay? But then I had to take them out and have them made into black and whites.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Using the magazine, and it was a physical cut and paste, cut mm-hmm. and paste.
Wow, that's and love, so, let me tell you.
Yes, definitely.
Now, you still have the color pictures, though?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have a lot of things.
Yeah, you
I got
do.
A
that's
thing
great.
This high and by this wide full of pictures.
Wow.
No. How did your journey start with HGTV? I'm really curious about that. And when that have, was, around what time would that was.
Right, yeah. And it's all hooked in and tied in with McCall's patterns.
Okay.
This was my pattern for a doll, my sock doll pattern.
Okay.
And I did, let's see, one, and I still have these dolls, but I had to send them to McCall's so they could do photographing and all that. Then they mm-hmm. sent them back to me. But these dolls on the back. So it's just one pattern, but these clothes, I think, were in the book as well.
Okay.
And the clothes are in the book, but, you know, it's a book of instructions. But anyway, I went to a craft store and I happened to see some black fiber fill. Okay.
Okay. Mm.
And so I looked at it and I asked them at the store, I said, do you have any more of this? I can use this. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, the company only makes it during October for Halloween. You know,
mm-hmm.
the fiber fill. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen black fiber fill before.
Black fiber fill.
Okay. Wow.
So I said, I found out the company that made it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I picked up the telephone and I called them. And I said, you know, I make black dolls. And I said, I saw this black fiber fill and I said it would work perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because when I use the black fabric, dark fabric, and I said, I usually work with socks. I said, I don't like to see the white fiber fill coming through the dark fabric.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I said, I know lots of doll makers around the country who would really just love to have this.
Wow.
And not just in October.
Right. Yes. Right.
So what they did, this is just another whole story.
Wow.
I tell you. But they just, and see, I'm still using it.
I see.
But they just sent me boxes and boxes of black fiber fill. And the doll artists, they were getting fiber fill and fiber fill, okay? And so this company and I became friends. And in fact, they did some advertising in my Dollagram, and I did some doll directories, and they did mm-hmm. some advertising in that. In fact, they did them for me. And so they received an award one year because of my idea for them to use the Black Fiber Field.
Oh, okay.
And they had a big dinner and stuff. And some of myself and some of the other doll makers went to the big dinner, and I got to go up on stage with them and accept the award. There ain't no money, okay? And so that relationship led to a couple of things. Meeting the people who do this at McCall, becoming friends with them, meeting the people who published A Soft Dolls and Animals. And nice. So I had a regular column in here for about 3 or 4 years.
Oh, nice.
And then after that, they went out of business, went out mm-hmm. of print.
Okay.
And then I was introduced to people at HGTV.
Okay.
Wow. So that's okay. kind of how that mm-hmm. worked. Okay. And so it's like, number one, whether you choose to believe it or not, I am an introvert, okay? And one of the ways that I used to make my living was at a company where I had to cold call on the telephone.
Oh, I hate cold
like,
calling.
Don't nobody see you, okay? And so you can just talk. So I just kind of picked up some things from that. And so I was not afraid to pick up the telephone, call the newspaper,
right.
or call whoever it is, and tell them my story in such a way that they could not say no.
Wow.
You know, just make it exciting. And that, my friends, that storytelling came from when I was in front of that wood stove with my sister making mm-hmm. paper dolls and creating stories.
Yeah.
And
full
so
circle.
That's yeah. it. That's it. And so, picking up the telephone, calling people, and talking to people, and really having butterflies in my stomach that nobody can see, mm-hmm. you know, and just saying, well, if they say no, then they just say no. I'll just have to figure out something else.
Wow. That's kind of our story, isn't it?
Yes.
with this doll show, it's like, yeah. well, let's call them up and see what they say.
Yeah. That's it.
Send them a message and see what they say. If they say no, we're where we are.
Then you
so
just go on.
Definitely
to
understand
next,
that,
right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just so thankful for all of the experiences I did. I cannot tell you everything that has happened to me because of the dolls.
Wow.
And the Bible says a little child shall lead. So wow. it all came from my childhood and my daughter.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes us to your HGTV. This, you've got this great history. So
the HGTV, that was an experience that you won't believe.
So what happened with that?
Well, I went to I think it was Tennessee.
Okay.
That's where they were. And a lady, Gloria Weiner, I think that was her name, she did doll hair. Okay. So mm-hmm. I had met her at the craft shows with the Putnam Company, the fiber field company. So she went to Tennessee with me. And so, and I just happened the other day to see something that I had written about that. I'm going through papers, and I wish that I had it in front of me, but I recorded that whole thing in writing. But they had me to bring, they were interested in the sock doll, mm-hmm. okay? And so I had to have the sock doll in every single stage, and I had to have the black fiber fill there. And so we did it in sections like that. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we okay. had everything laid out, the scissors and the needles and the thread. And I explained everything as I was doing it. And I think that we, in that one day, I think that we did either two or three shows.
Okay.
Actually, I think it was about three different shows.
Okay.
But I did them all in that one day.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. And that was back in the 90s, somewhere in the 90s.
Okay. Yeah. So then tell us about your journey. What happened after HGTV? What did you do next?
Oh, I kept doing the doll shows. I was doing doll shows all over the country, but the one at Wilberforce was the largest one, the 7,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I did a doll show. And this is another story. There was a man who read about the doll shows, okay? And he lived in, I think, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me. And he said that he just couldn't send his wife to Wilberforce. He couldn't do it. They had children and et cetera, and it just wasn't feasible. So he said, would you do the doll show down here in Oklahoma?
Oh,
wow.
So I did the doll show there and was able to get some doll makers, a doll artist to come there. But
beautiful.
That's so cool.
For several years, I did California, let's see, Berkeley, San Leandro. I did doll shows. And these, I was traveling a lot because I would do several doll shows in one year. But of course, the biggest one was there in Wilberforce.
Mm-hmm.
I did Texas, either Houston or Dallas. I can't remember. I also did Cleveland, Ohio. I did Evansville, Indiana. And I was not doing any more doll shows in Seattle. I did that. I did about three doll show, 3 years in Seattle. And then I started going, doing them all over. Okay. Yeah. And then as a part of that, I was, I had collected enough dolls myself to be able to have exhibits in other parts of the country. So I would box up dolls and send them to other parts of the country for display under the title Holiday Festival of Black Dolls.
Okay.
Okay.
And,
all right. Cool.
And in fact, one exhibit I did here in Seattle was at the United Concourse, United Airlines Concourse at SeaTac Airport. And that's a very, very busy concourse. Mm-hmm. And that exhibit stayed up for a full year.
Yeah. Wow.
That's cool.
And these were not my dolls. These were dolls that were made by other doll artists all over the country. Yeah.
That's really
and
nice.
And that's a beautiful part of it. Because by then, I think that I was not doing paper dolls anymore. And I had not as yet created Little Miss Bow Ribbons, which was the pillow doll. So it was just me managing the doll shows, then showing dolls created by other dolls.
Other artists, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you said you currently you're still doing the dolls. Like what are you actually doing with them? Are you selling them? Are you still just creating exhibits for them? I know you said you're currently still involved in the dolls. So what does that mean?
Well, that means this. I don't know if, well, a lot of people, I do a clothespin doll.
Okay.
And I call this my Jemima doll.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Jemima named after Job's eldest daughter. And she's named in the Bible as Jemima.
Okay.
So I do the clothespin doll, and the concept there, I was doing workshops as well, is that how did we go from a Jemima who was not only wealthy, but she was one of the most beautiful brown women back then, and she and her two sisters were beautiful women. And Jemima actually means little dove. So how did we go from that to what we have today? So I was using the Jemima thesis to say,
okay,
women, we have to name and claim ourselves. And if you choose to do whatever it is you choose to do, You do it, but don't allow somebody else to do it. See, that was a concept behind Jemima. So I make, and I still make the Jemima clothespin doll. And I usually keep some in my car, and I just randomly give them when I feel the need to do so, with a little scripture and an affirmation. Then I think that just 3 weeks ago, a lady called me because somebody had told her that I'd make dolls. And she wanted a doll for her mother, who was turning 80 years old. And so I showed her some pictures, and she selected a sock doll that was dressed like an angel. So I just made the angel sock doll. And then about 2 months ago, I made four dolls and sent them to Philadelphia, I think. But I still do that when somebody asks me to. But I just don't have a lot of time to do it on a regular basis. But I keep the clothespin dolls and a glue gun in the kitchen. And when I feel the need to, you know, then I can do it, you know, because it's very, they're very simple and easy to do.
Okay.
Yeah. But the other projects that I'm involved with are taking a lot of time. I just finished a book. I'm waiting for the printer to call me and show me a copy so I can say yay or nay.
Okay.
But this project, I established last year, and it's in honor of Sojourner Truth, and it's the National African American Clergy Women's Awareness Month. So I'm preparing for November for that, and we'll be recognizing about 30 women clergy from all over the world. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. So
you're going to do it this November or next November? November 2020?
You're
going to be doing it?
Okay, yeah, I did it last year for the first time, November 2019. And I think it recognized about maybe about 20 women. Yeah.
Okay.
This year, about 30. The oldest one this year is 106 years old. Wow. And she's still preaching.
Wow.
In that's Temple, great. Texas. I mean, you know, people need to know about these things.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I need to tell you about this.
Okay.
Okay.
This is called The Fabric of Life, Cultural Traditional. 1 year, doll makers from all over the country were invited to make a patch.
Oh,
and so, they made these patches. This is the, all of these patches. All of these are patches. Okay. And then there is a quilter who lives in Seattle. She is no longer living. She made a quilt, and the quilt is big enough for a queen size bed. And so this quilt traveled with me to several doll shows, and people were able to autograph the back of the quilt. And to go along with the quilt, there's some writers in Seattle, and I asked the writers to write something original based on our theme, our grand and glorious heritage. They did not see the quilt, And so these writers wrote these beautiful pieces of poetry and other writings relative to our grand and glorious heritage. And you know what? What they wrote matched the quilt.
Wow.
And they had not even seen the quilt.
I haven't seen it.
I got the quilt that's all beautiful. Folded up in my closet.
Oh my God.
But it's a beautiful quilt.
Wow. That should be an exhibit piece by itself.
Yes.
You know, the whole
that could be an amazing
everything
somewhere.
Is just a big story, you know?
Yeah. That's so cool though.
But there's a lot of stuff in this story that that conjures up unpleasant memories.
Yes, of course. You
know?
Yes.
And that's always true.
That's part of the story.
That's part of the story.
You know?
And that's part of the story of why it is, I think, in 1998, I stopped publishing the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think by then, I didn't do a show, a doll show, any more doll shows either.
Okay. Yeah. Well, right. That's sad. That's really sad. But, you know, we're able to, you know, one thing about the show is that we're able to talk to so many more people now who are continuing a lot of those legacies as far as, you know, creating amazing dolls and younger people too, which mm-hmm. is what we're loving. You know, we're seeing these amazing doll creators, African-American doll creators that are doing some amazing things out there.
I am still collecting.
Okay, great.
I just bought this beautiful piece. Can you see this?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
And the mate to this is hanging on the opposite wall over here. You can't see it.
Uh-huh.
But I bought this piece, this beautiful piece from Sonia McCreary.
Mm-hmm.
Carey. And she's in Toledo, Ohio. And she is married to, do you know Wyatt Hicks?
That name sounds very familiar to me.
Hicks is another story too. People need to know about him. But he did this doll of me, and it's so lifelike.
Oh, is that of you?
Features and everything. Yes, it's me. And, you know, I've got all of these dolls all over, and each doll has a story. I don't know if you remember Ron Brown. Ron Brown worked with, I think it was in the Bill Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, this is one of Wyatt's dolls. Okay. And he's got the dollar bill in his hand because Ron Brown was the deputy for the commerce or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was killed, I think, in a plane crash. But
oh, okay.
This is some of Wyatt's work. Yeah, I met him he and Sonia at one of the doll shows in Wilberforce, and they just happened to come in one day. They didn't do dolls or anything like that, but then we'll go in here and see what's going on. And this is what he started doing after his experience there at the doll show.
Okay.
One of the dolls.
So you're saying he had not been making dolls at this point? He started making them after?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a powerful story.
It is. Okay. I mean, he's another whole... I mean, you would just be surprised at the stories that these doll artists have.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we're definitely finding that out. We're definitely finding that out with this show, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See this?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now this is actual fabric.
This is actual fabric.
And I don't remember her name, but she was Doll Artist of the Year one year. And this is a technique. And this is back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a technique that her mother taught her.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice.
And so she started doing it after her mother passed away. And I think I've got about four or five of her dolls. But I mean, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yes. So men and women were doing some wonderful things 30, 40 years ago.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
And I know you know about Barbara Whiteman and her doll museum.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. In fact, that's where I met Barbara Whiteman, was at the grand opening of the National African American Museum Center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Wilberforce.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she has a huge, beautiful collection
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But I have to just say that, emphasize again that my focus and my collection is on contemporary African American doll artists because. My experience was and is that they were not getting the amount of acknowledgement that they should have gotten.
Okay. Yes.
And so I still focus on this group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. That's wonderful. And I think you've done a great job in, you know, bringing those people together too and showing the history of what they've done and laying the foundation for so many other people to be able to continue that work. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
I say thank you, Tammy and Georgette. I wish that I were still writing, then I would focus on you and my magazine if I were doing it.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you so much.
This has been an honor.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
But I have to mention Melvin and Loretta Whitfield.
Okay.
Who did the Baby Whitney doll.
Okay.
And actually, we had an award that was named after the Baby Whitney doll. Mm-hmm. And that award was always given to, it was the Shindana Award. Mm-hmm. And it was the Shindana Award was always given to a doll artist whose doll was commercially done, mm-hmm. And was made available to larger groups of people.
Right.
Yeah. And so Melvin and Loretta with their Baby Whitney doll received that award practically every single year.
Wow.
But and I've got several Baby Whitneys in the living room, mm-hmm. but they, Loretta is not doing very well right now. Oh, she's very ill.
Sorry to hear that.
And I would be very remiss if I did not acknowledge the work that they did. Mm-hmm. In the doll world.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. So maybe we can reach out to them.
Yeah.
To,
mm-hmm. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And we wish her, you know, we pray for her.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just let me say one more person's name.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes, I got all of these names. Myla Perkins. You know, okay. Myla Perkins.
Yes.
All right. Okay. She did a couple of articles for the magazine as well.
Okay. But,
Myla Perkins.
Very cool.
Kianga.
Okay. Yeah, she's my friend, Kianga.
Kianga?
Yeah, she's my Facebook friend. She does quilts though, doesn't she? Does she do dolls too?
She started with dolls. This is one of Kianga's. And one year I went to Africa and Kianga didn't go, but she sent this doll. Mm-hmm. And this doll is called I forget what it's called, but it has a special meaning. And it was presented to people I think I went to South Africa. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And then one year, Kianga went with me.
Okay.
But then this particular year, she didn't go. And what's beautiful about this doll is that it's this doll.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Very nice.
And Kianga was a regular writer for the magazine.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to reach out to Kianga because I didn't realize that. I thought she was a quilter. Okay.
Well, she's a quilter, but she's a doll maker too.
Okay.
Very cool.
In fact, one of her dolls, we did a special exhibit using the black fiber field that traveled around the country for a while. And one of Kianga did, who is the black woman who flew, who was a pilot?
Yeah, Bessie Coleman.
That's Bessie Coleman.
Coleman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kianga did that doll.
Oh, okay.
And that doll traveled in the exhibit. And as far as I know, the museum in Wilberforce still has that doll. Because they have all of the dolls that was in that particular exhibit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And in fact, at one time, I think that the museum probably had the largest collection of dolls that were made by contemporary black doll artists of because at every year they would always purchase dolls from the doll artists who were there.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kianga made that doll and it traveled in the exhibit for several years.
That's very good to know.
If people want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to try to reach out to you?
Well, they can do it. I've got a Facebook page that's called Laverne's Original Holiday Festival of Black Dolls.
Okay.
They can email me, hallcmbh@aol.com.
Okay.
Or they can call me. Now, I'm not afraid to give my telephone number because it's been circulating all over the world for 40, 50 years. It's 425-591. 5607. Ladies, thank you very, very much. You're have so made welcome. My day.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, really, for being here with us on In the Doll World. This was just so delightful. And so I just loved listening to your journey. So thank you so much.
Yes.
We really appreciate it, Laverne.
Thank you very much, Georgette and Tammy.
All right. Thank you.
You have stay safe afternoon. Out there. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to In the Doll World. Me and Tammy really hope that you enjoyed the show. Please don't forget to share our podcast with other doll enthusiasts such as yourself. And if you would like to leave a message on how you enjoyed the show
or you want to suggest any guests that we should interview, as well as share information about what's happening in the Dahl community in your area, please know that you can reach out to us at georgette.inthedahlworld@gmail.com and or tammy.inthedahlworld@gmail.com. Also, if you want to see some of the photos we will be posting of our guests, as well as the dolls that they talk about on the show, please visit www.inthedahlworld.com. And until next week, add a little play into your life by collecting a doll, sharing a doll, or giving a doll a home. Until next week, thank you again for listening to In the Dahl World.